Today is the 30th day of November, the final day of the 11th month of the year, and the first day of a brand new, shiny, sparkly week. And so it's fitting that we look out above this and over it. We stand here together over this vista because we're looking into the last month of the year. And this first week of the last month of the year. And this, the first Sunday in the season of Advent. Advent meaning arrival. A season where we put ourselves in a position of openness and longing, as those so long ago longed for a savior to come. So it's a beautiful day to be together. It's a beautiful day to look into the new month and choose wisely the way that we will live it, the way that we will conduct ourselves, how we will honor the advent, the arrival, the coming of the Savior into our lives, into our world, and into our future. I am deeply, profoundly, humbly grateful to have made it this far into the year together, and this far into the 20th year of our showing up for each other every day. Very, very, very grateful. So let's jump in. Let's jump into what we've come here to do. We have left our cares behind us and gathered around this global campfire to let the Word of God wash over us, cover us, and penetrate within us and bring us the change that we need. So we will read from the New English translation this week. Today, Daniel chapter 7. In the first year of King Belshazzar of Babylon, Daniel had a dream filled with visions while he was lying on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream in summary fashion. Daniel explained, "I was watching in my vision during the night as the four winds of the sky were stirring up the great sea. Then four large beasts came up from the sea. They were different from one another. The first one was like a lion with eagle's wings. As I watched, its wings were pulled off, and it was lifted up from the ground. It was made to stand on 2 feet like a human being, and a human mind was given to it. Then a second beast appeared like a bear. It was raised up on one side, and there were 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, 'Get up and devour much flesh.' After these things, as I was watching, another beast, like a leopard, appeared, with 4 bird-like wings on its back. This beast had 4 heads, and ruling authority was given to it. After these things, as I was watching in the night visions, a 4th beast appeared, one dreadful, terrible, and very strong. It had 2 large rows of iron teeth. It devoured and crushed, and anything that was left, it trampled with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that came before it, and it had 10 horns. As I was contemplating the horns, another horn, a small one, came up between them, and 3 of the former horns were torn out by the roots to make room for it. This horn had eyes resembling human eyes and a mouth speaking arrogant things. While I was watching, thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His attire was white like snow. The hair of his head was like lamb's wool. His throne was ablaze with fire, and its wheels were all aflame. A river of fire was streaming forth and proceeding from his presence. Many thousands were ministering to him. Many tens of thousands stood ready to serve him. The court convened and the books were opened. Then I kept on watching because of the arrogant words of the horn that was speaking. I was watching until the beast was killed and its body destroyed and thrown into the flaming fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their ruling authority had already been removed, though they were permitted to go on living for a time and a season. I was watching in the night visions, and with the clouds of the sky, one like a son of man was approaching. He went up to the Ancient of Days and was escorted before him. To him was given ruling authority, honor, and sovereignty. All peoples, nations, and language groups were serving him. His authority is eternal and will not pass away. His kingdom will not be destroyed. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was distressed, and the visions of my mind were alarming me. I approached one of those standing nearby and asked him about the meaning of all this. So he spoke with me and revealed to me the interpretation of the vision. These large beasts, which are four in number, represent four kings who will arise from the earth. The holy ones of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will take possession of the kingdom forever and ever. Then I wanted to know the meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others. It was very dreadful, with two rows of iron teeth and bronze claws, and it devoured, crushed, and trampled anything that was left with its feet. I also wanted to know the meaning of the ten horns on its head, and of that other horn that came up, and before which three others fell. This was the horn that had eyes and a mouth, speaking arrogant things, whose appearance was more formidable than the others. While I was watching, that horn began to wage war against the holy ones and was defeating them, until the Ancient of Days arrived and judgment was rendered in favor of the holy ones of the Most High. Then the time came for the holy ones to take possession of the kingdom. This is what he told me. The fourth beast means that there will be a fourth kingdom on earth that will differ from all the other kingdoms. It will devour all the earth and will trample and crush it. The ten horns mean that ten kings will arise from that kingdom. Another king will arise after them, but he will be different from the earlier ones. He will humiliate three kings. He will speak words against the Most High. He will harass the holy ones of the Most High continually. His intention will be to change times established by law. The holy ones will be delivered into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. But the court will convene, and his ruling authority will be removed, destroyed, and abolished forever. Then the kingdom, authority, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be delivered to the people of the holy ones of the Most High. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. All authorities will serve him and obey him. This is the conclusion of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts troubled me greatly, and the color drained from my face, but I kept the matter to myself. Okay, so yesterday we concluded another letter, 2 Peter, which brings us to the threshold that we must step through of another book, another letter. And this brings us back into contact with a familiar voice. And we'll begin the first of three different letters in a row that are attributed to the Apostle John, the beloved apostle of Jesus. Ironically, this letter makes no mention of who it's from, It doesn't specify even whom it's to whom it's addressed. So we can conclude that this is an anonymous letter, but church fathers in the mid-second century, so like 50 years-ish, give or take, after this letter was written, had attributed the letter to John the Evangelist. And neither the letter itself or that authorship were ever disputed when the New Testament was canonized. It's been in recent times with textual criticism, with new tools of science, that some scholars have begun to ask questions of the style, like between the Gospel of John and the Epistles of John. We know John was in Ephesus for the latter part of his life. In fact, his tomb is there in Ephesus until this day and can be visited. And I can remember standing there in awe, like, this is for God so loved the world, John, that he gave his only begotten son, John. Like, this is John. It could be that part of the reason for not addressing the letter to specific people, since John was specifically over a number of different churches in that region, may have been that it was intended to be circulated throughout all of those churches. It's possible that the initial readers were familiar enough with John that he didn't need to introduce himself in the letter. These would be like the seven churches that John writes to in the book of Revelation. These were churches very, very familiar with John as like a bishop, as a leader. And it's also possible that the recipients of the letter were not identified because persecution had broken out and this message of endurance was so prevalent. So it could have been that the letter didn't really identify, give any kind of identifying clues to protect the people from persecution. So First John is likely, very likely, written from Ephesus very late in the apostle's life. Most scholars date the letter between the mid-90s, maybe even early 100s, so really late first century, very early second, like really late in John's life. And John is writing this letter mainly for one specific purpose: to address false teachings that were circulating. And so some of the earliest forms of Gnostic thought and other thoughts, like, we have to remember, there is no New Testament. This has not been canonized at this point. A lot of people have a lot of things to say and think and imagine about Jesus and his work. And these things are circulating. And so they had made their way into the conversation in the churches that John was over. There's an early docetic view that is addressed here. That was a view that Jesus wasn't actually a human being. And so this is the Council of Nicaea later. Like, this is things that had to be wrestled with and determined later. This docetic view was that Jesus wasn't a human being. He just appeared to be a human being. He was divine. He was God. He was from God. There was also a view of a man named Cerinthus who taught that the divine Christ, the godly parts, united with this person, Jesus, in his humanity. And this happened at his baptism. And then this divine spirit, this divine part of Jesus, departed from him at his crucifixion. So John has this unique place to speak toward these things. He's got authority to speak toward and against these things. He was there. He actually knew Jesus. Like, he sat around campfires with Jesus laughing. He saw Jesus asleep. Like, he walked with Jesus. He was a part of the inner circle. So he had been with Jesus from the beginning of his ministry. So he could speak to these things about Jesus with the view of an eyewitness, which he did in 1 John. So beyond just denouncing some false teachings that are going around, this letter offers many different contrasts to really make us look inward at the postures of our own hearts, while pulling us forward in the assurance of our salvation. And so here we are, ending the 11th month of our year together. Let's embrace the encouragement offered in the first letter of John, the evangelist. And today, we'll read chapter 1. This is what we proclaim to you, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and our hands have touched, concerning the word of life. And the life was revealed, and we have seen and testify and announce to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard, we announce to you too, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Thus, we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Now, this is the gospel message we have heard from him and announced to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet keep on walking in the darkness, we are lying and not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we do not bear the guilt of sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, forgiving us our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Psalm 119, 153 through 176. Resh. See my pain and rescue me, for I do not forget your law. Fight for me and defend me. Revive me with your word. The wicked have no chance for deliverance, for they do not seek your statutes. Your compassion is great, O Lord. Revive me, as you typically do. The enemies who chase me are numerous, yet I do not turn aside from your rules. I take note of the treacherous and despise them, because they do not keep your instructions. See how I love your precepts. O Lord, revive me with your loyal love. Your instructions are totally reliable. All your just regulations endure. Shin. Rulers pursue me for no reason, yet I am more afraid of disobeying your instructions. I rejoice in your instructions, like one who finds much plunder. I hate and despise deceit. I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you because of your just regulations. Those who love your law are completely secure. Nothing causes them to stumble. I hope for your deliverance, O Lord, and I obey your commands. I keep your rules. I love them greatly. I keep your precepts and rules, for you are aware of everything I do. Tav. Listen to my cry for help, O Lord. Give me insight by your word. Listen to my appeal for mercy. Deliver me as you promised. May praise flow freely from my lips, for you teach me your statutes. May my tongue sing about your instructions, for all your commands are just. May your hand help me, for I choose to obey your precepts. I long for your deliverance, O Lord. I find delight in your law. May I live and praise you. May your regulations help me. I have wandered off like a lost sheep. Come looking for your servant, for I do not forget your commands. Proverbs 28, 23 and 24. The one who reproves another will in the end find more favor than the one who flatters with the tongue. The one who robs his father and mother and says, "There is no transgression," is a companion to the one who destroys. Father, we thank you for your word. And now we thank you for bringing us successfully and faithfully through 11 of the 12 months of the year. And we will step forward into a new month just like we have stepped forward into a new week today. And this final month is a busy month in the Bible and a busy month in the year. A busy month in the world, a busy month in our lives. So as we embrace it, as we navigate it, as we embrace the Advent season, may we have a sense of longing for your renewal, longing for your arrival. May we stay rooted and grounded. May we stay in a safe place with you. And not get blown away by all the crazy winds that are blowing around us and all of the different things that want to pull us in all the different directions. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your kindness, your mercy, your gentleness, your patience, but also your correction when we have needed it deeply. And so, Holy Spirit, lead us. Lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's Susan from Canada. God's yellow flower via Arizona. beautiful weather down here. We praise you, Lord God, for answered prayers, always answered prayers. And whether it's answered according to my will or not, we still praise you because we walk in trust and faith and knowing that your will is always best. So we lift up Mitchell to you again. Lord God, we'll never stop praying for this boy until he is being looked after, till he is getting the proper care, till he is getting, till he is healed. Lord God, he's going to always be in our prayers. He's always in his dad's prayers, Lord God. And we, like the widow who goes to the unjust judge, we will keep nagging because we love Brian and we love Mitchell. And I pray, Lord God, that through this court case that he will find the care that he needs to do well in this world. We pray over Brian and his ex-wife and his daughter as well, that you would bless them mightily with cords of love that cannot be broken, including Mitchell. We pray that you would bless them with healing in relationships and healing in body, mind, and soul. We ask this all in your precious and most holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hi, it's Heather from Tennessee. Junk to Treasure, I am listening to September 27th, and I heard your prayer, and it breaks my heart that you're going through all these things, that your family is going through all these things, and it's just, I completely understand. Sometimes the stress is so much that you just don't know where to go. And I know we are to go to God, and you do, and you pray, and you lift up prayers, and you pray for other people, and we are all praying for you. And we may not understand or know why all of these things are happening to our children, and it hurts. And I don't, I'm in it as well. I'm in it with you. I have children, and it just breaks my heart, all the things that are happening, and there's nothing I can do but God. And I'm just lifting you up, knowing that God, everything is for His glory. And I thank you, Lord, for Junk to Treasure, and pray for her family. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Nicole from Alberta, Canada, and I'm calling with a praise report. My stepson, Jake, just got his scans back after the bone marrow transplant, and the doctor says that he looks like he's cancer-free for good, and now he just has to recover from all the side effects from having the transplant itself. So I just want to share that. Sometimes we just think we get these good reports and we forget, we take a minute and we praise God and we forget to share it with the people who have done the heavy work of lifting us up and remembering and bringing us before God and the heavens. And so I just want to publicly just gather together to thank God for this answer to prayer. Thank all of you for your faithfulness in praying. Father God, we're just so grateful that we get to come towards you, grateful that you listen, and grateful that you answer, even though sometimes it's in ways that we don't understand. And I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your faithfulness. And I just right now continue to lift up all the other people who are battling with different cancers, different health issues, surgeries needed, with scary diagnoses. I just lift them all up right now. Lord, you see them. You see them in the quiet times, the scary times, the dark times. I pray for comfort, for peace, for healing, and mostly for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible. This is Deborah from Guadeloupe. I just was listening to my Daily Audio Bible, and I came upon the prayer request of Skip Morgan. Skip Morgan, you are blessed. Dear God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you reach out to this man and you hear the desires of his heart. But oh God, he needs you. He needs you because he feels weak. He needs you because he feels depressed. And oh God, I know that it is your will that he be good, that he be blessed, and that he be in good health in Jesus. Oh, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you touch him wherever he is. Skip, God bless you. And I know that God hears your prayers. Blessings to all of you. Have a great day today. And be a blessing to someone, so that in return, someone can say, thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray that you bless all the DAB family, all the listeners, all those who come in to pray. I'm thinking of Kingdom Seeker Daniel and his wife that lost their children. And oh God, I pray that you continue your strength, your courage, and your blessing in their life. This is not an easy road to walk, but they love you, they praise you, and they celebrate you in their grief. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, everyone. Have a great day.